But we begin today. He's been all over the state of Indiana. He and John Gregg, they're trying to go to more places than ever before. He's been to more places as the Democratic candidate for United States Senate than the other candidate for Senate that nobody has seen. They saw his videos, but the videos didn't fit. So Joe Donnelly, the Democratic candidate for United States Senator, is here live. Joe, how you doing?
Very good, Amos. Thank you so much for having me with you. And what you mentioned about the heat, boy, it's been hot. We did four parades on July 4th, and I think it was 104 degrees.
Yeah, but you don't have – you did all those parades. No tan. You notice that? No tan. I mentioned that you've literally been all over the state, but it seems like your opponent hasn't. Nobody's heard. Is he out there?
I heard he was at a couple of 4th of July parades. I thought the interesting part was probably the most visible he's been is – when he put out the four different videos on healthcare.
You have been out in a number of Indiana communities since Hoosier native John Roberts led that opinion of the Supreme Court that said that the Affordable Care Act is legal, is the law of the land. What are Hoosiers telling you?
They are saying, Joe, what we want to do is see things like seniors being able to get prescriptions of 50% off, people with pre-existing conditions like diabetes or lupus or others be able to get health care, many for the first time in their lives, and that young people, 21, 22, 23, can stay on their parents' coverage and can continue to get health care. So they like those parts of it. And then have said, you know, Joe, the parts that are a little bumpy, that are not working quite as well, we can work on trying to fix those. And that makes sense to me is that's how so many things are is keep the good parts and continue to work on making the law even better.
Have you gotten a lot of Hoosiers saying, you know, what's this tax? And you've had to explain that only if you don't want insurance would your taxable liability go down a little bit.
Well, what really happens is in many cases, the rest of us are already paying for the health care of folks who may not have coverage and then get very seriously sick, wind up with a $300,000 bill from the hospital. The hospital doesn't eat that. They just pass it on to the other consumers of health care from that hospital. And so we're already paying this. And what this is a way to try to make sure that everyone is taking care of their own obligations.
You may have questions for Joe Donnelly. He's the Democratic candidate for United States Senate. He would be the a Democrat going back in. This is the seat that Richard Lugar had. Until them crazy folks took it away from him. He's running against Richard Murdoch, and he's running against the Libertarian candidate whose name escapes me. I'll think of it in a minute.
I think it's Andrew Horning.
Oh, Andy Horning again. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is on Morning Joe this morning on MSNBC. Steve Rattner, who worked for the Obama administration, is part of that economic recovery plan, talked about the amount of jobs that have been created since the president's been president. And he talked about that in healthcare, we've added jobs. In education, we've added jobs. In manufacturing, we've added jobs. And what's dragging the economy down is job losses in government and a lot of job losses in construction. And a lot of that is home building. As you've gone around Indiana, are we seeing a comeback in manufacturing?
We have seen an extraordinary comeback in manufacturing in our state. And one of the things, you know, Richard Murdoch was the person who filed suit to try to force the liquidation of Chrysler, which also would have taken out General Motors. We have seen automotive employment go up significantly. If Mr. Murdoch had his way, we would have lost over 150,000 Hoosier jobs, which would have put us close to a depression in our state. We've seen manufacturing jobs in the automotive sector, and that Amos is not just for Chrysler and GM. But then for the tier two and tier three suppliers who also supply products, we are seeing with advanced manufacturing computer technology, we are seeing our own state being the place where it's easy to deliver to provide product. And instead of looking at China, they're looking at Indiana.
Is it all 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name. Let me start today with Michelle and Joe Donnelly, the Democratic candidate for Senate. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I have a question. I'm not sure if this is referred to Senate or state. It's an actual question about child support and the way the state handles it.
Okay.
Would that be something that I could ask a question
Sure,
about?
And if I don't have the answer, we will get back to Amos with the answer.
Okay, this is my question. I receive child support. I have 8 children altogether. 4 are adults and 4 are younger. When the 4 older children were younger, I received TANF benefits. My ex-husband is still paying back to the state those benefits. My younger children, however, were never on TANF because I was working, going to school and whatnot. The state took my last child support check that my younger son's dad paid. They gave me a piece of it, and they said that when I called about the payment, they said that the state had taken that child support payment, but that particular child had never been on TANF. I have a two-part question. The first question is, how is it possible for the state to take it if he was never on TANF? Mm-hmm. And the second part is, how is that they can do this without sending any notifications out to say, okay, you owe the state this much from when you received TANF benefits, and this is how much you owe state. I need to understand how they're able to do these things and no notification be given and no hi Jerry, and there's no way to actually just know that the state is actually taking what they're supposed to take.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand it completely, Joe.
Here's what we can do. A lot of this is state based, and so what we're going to try and do, I can give you a number. It's area code 317-231-7108. And if you call that number, what we can...
231-7108. 7108.
Right. And if you call that number, we will put together for you the different places to get all the pieces of information to make this work for you so we can get you the exact right answer.
Michelle, let me ask you something. You are not on TANF at all, correct?
No, I'm not. I have not been on TANF since before 1995.
Oh, whoa! Before 1995?
Yes.
Do you know how much is owed in these TANF benefits? Did they ever...
No, no one has ever outlined... What was owed? Ever.
Have they outlined to the dad?
No, they haven't.
So neither. So the responsible dad doesn't know.
No.
And you don't know.
No.
Oh, that's worse than weird. That.
And oldest child is 26 years old, and he's still paying because he's always worked. He's still paying the state. Like, they send you out the statement for every month,
right,
the benefits that you've received for that month, the child support from the father.
Mm-hmm.
They have one column has how much they paid you. The other column has how much the father paid to the state, or it says arrears.
So,
but those arrears are actually outlining how much is back support and actually how much is owed to the state. They combine all of that in the arrear amount.
All right, a couple of things. He, the responsible dad, is going to have to do on his end. He's got to go to court.
Okay.
He's got to go down to, was this a child support case here in Marion County?
Yes, of course, yes.
All right, he's got to go to Marion County and petition the judge,
mm-hmm,
to get this changed.
Okay.
That's what he has to do. And then the Donnelly people will get back to you. Okay.
At the 231-7108.
Right. And when you call that, tell them you talked to Congressman Donnelly on the radio today.
Just wait till after the show so we have a chance to get back.
Yeah. Give them till 2 o'clock, then call.
All right.
All right. Then the other thing is they'll let me know, and then there may be somebody that I can get a hold of at FSSA and scream on your behalf. Okay.
I appreciate that, Amos. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Donnelly.
All right. Thank you. 239-1310. Is this one of the things when everybody talks about waste and problems in government? Is this part of what we need to be dealing with both at the federal level and at other levels, being more efficient? Cutting down, you know, some of this maddening, dumb stuff.
Right. How do we make it work together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to stand in line at the BMV, mm-hmm, and we'd stand there for hours. And it's a much better system in terms of not having to wait as long now. So how do we make it so that this is more streamlined, that it works in a simpler way, and that we are able to, instead of having people have to jump through hoops, that we can make it a simpler system for them.
Right. 239-1310. Go ahead.
You were asking about the economy. Well, yeah. Indiana's economy, we are below the national unemployment now, and we see our manufacturing growth continue. And this ties in large measure to what you were talking about also with I-STEPS, which is, Amos, everything is education. Mm-hmm. And the chance for to be part of, for instance, Cummins,
right,
that you help design engines, build engines, they are crying out for good workers who have the right education. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're the best educated state in the country as well.
239-1310 is Afternoon's name. The President of the United States spoke about an hour ago saying, challenging Congress, saying that he's ready to extend the tax cuts to the middle class. That's everybody that's making less than $250,000 a year, which I think is everybody in this room and virtually all the people here in this building. And most of the people nearly all the people listening on the radio, he's ready to do it. Said if Congress does it, he'll sign it 5 seconds, when the paperwork gets to him. Is this, because I understand there are these battles in the House this week where the Republicans want to repeal the Affordable Care Act, they want to repeal common sense and some other crazy stuff, but they won't let this come to the floor?
Well, that's what we'll see. Let's see if they let it come to the floor, because it makes sense. It is something that I think can be a positive for our economy, create more jobs. And so I would be very supportive of the president's efforts.
I thought a lot of those Republicans signed a pledge not to raise taxes. So if you're voting on a tax cut, it seemed to me that Grover Norquist guy would like them.
Well, not if the president gets credit for it.
239-1310. Back. It's afternoon. Let me go back to the phone. This new computer that we've got here. At Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine.
That's all right. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I just got laid off from Myers. And I mean, I don't know what to do, or who to contact, or what should I do. And the thing is, when I worked for Myers for 6 years, I brought a lot of revenue to Myers. I worked with corporate, but I noticed in my pay stubs, that I received like 30. It would say on the schedule 30 to 32 hours a week. But yet, when I go back and check on my pay stubs, it shows that I've been ripped off 2 hours out of 8 days, 8 hours of the week. So what can I do about that?
So wait a minute. When you went back to your check stubs,
yes,
it showed that instead of you working 30 hours a week, you were working 28?
Yes, sir.
The pay stubs?
This has been going on for 6 years.
Ooh. Sounds like you need to talk to the U.S. Department of Labor and the Indiana Department of Labor, a wage and hour division.
Okay.
Did you ever check your check stubs and bring that up to HR?
Yes, I have.
Hmm.
And they said, well, there's nothing they can do about it. I'm like, yes, you can. Because, I mean, this put me in a really bad position. Because I have bills coming right and left at me and getting married next month.
Uh-oh. Now, I got to ask you, Anonymous, you were laid off when?
I was laid off this week.
Have you filled out the paperwork for unemployment?
Not yet, but it's still in the works.
Well, you don't wait on that, Joe Donnelly. That's the first thing you're supposed to do if you go. Because laid off, that's the first step.
So in order to claim the number of hours that I've been cheated out of, where can I go to take it to court or small claims? I mean, this is the first time this happened to me.
What evidence do you have that your hours were wrong?
I have my pay stubs show that.
Were there time cards you had to fill out?
No, these are like, when you punch in at a computer.
Okay. So how do you know that when you punched in one way and the check stub said the other?
The HR, they keep track of that.
Did you ever complain to HR?
Yes, I did.
Did they ever respond to you in writing?
No.
Do you remember the dates and times you talked to HR?
Yes. I keep a logbook on that.
Uh-oh. That sounds like the kind of evidence, Joe Donnelly. How important is it that she goes to the Department of Labor, both at the federal level and the state level, hour division?
If she has all of that information, that would be important for her to do.
Yeah. If you've got all that kind of documentation, then it would be the Department of Labor, both at the federal level and at the state level.
Okay.
And you can go online to U.S. Department of Labor, Department of Labor, which is U.S., and then the Department of Labor for the state of Indiana, and they'll give you contact numbers.
Oh, okay.
And you may contact, you know, with them and present your evidence.
Okay.
Okay.
But I also wanted to know, point out, too, you know, I always attended the corporate meetings because part of my job was affiliated with corporate, representing them for accounts receivable. And they were telling us about this point system thing. Here it is. They said, okay, they extended the points to 18 points, you know, no matter what it is. So if you miss a day or if you had an emergency or something like that, they would give you up to 18 points. But they had told a story and said it was 12 points. And, I mean, here it is. It's written in the new policy now that in the handbook saying it's 18 points, but here it is, you have a representative that comes and lied to the employees, say, oh, you have 18 points, and then when it gets to 12 points, they're like, well, you're fired. What can I do about that?
Were you fired or laid off?
Oh, I was laid off.
Was it because of the points?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I was cheated in my pay.
You, Joe Donnelly, may also need to talk to an attorney.
Okay.
That's yeah.
With an attorney with experience in employment law.
Okay.
The other thing is Meijer, like a lot of big companies, that stock is traded on the stock market. Remember Enron and all them little crooks back in the day? Well, Congress passed some laws to require those public companies to have ways that if employees think that there's been some malfeasance or wrongdoing or mess, that they could report those anonymously or report those directly to the board of directors.
Okay.
So you may go to Meijer's website, under the corporate side of Meijer's website. There may be that system at Meijer.
Okay.
Where you can make those kind of complaints.
Okay.
You know, anonymously. A lot of major public companies have that.
Now, if you can't afford an attorney, like for my example, I can't afford one. Who can I call to represent me?
Well, see, that's the tricky part because the free lawyer thing worked with criminal trials. Congress hadn't passed the law to make that kind of service available for those in what is called civil cases. Joe Donnelly?
I would think one of the first steps would be if she was laid off, that she can go and file an unemployment claim. And that would be a place to start. And she can also lay out for them her other concerns and considerations.
Yeah, the most important thing is start the process to get your money.
Right.
For unemployment. If because you've been at that job 6 years.
Yes.
And did you get a letter that specifically said you're being laid off?
Yes, I can get that from the HR.
Okay, it did not say fired. That's a big difference.
It's a laid off.
Yeah, that word is very important.
Yes.
Because laid off is the main reason unemployment is supposed to work. If the company says you're fired, they'll try to fight you.
Okay.
See, there's a difference. And so they should have given you something in writing.
Right.
That said, did you get information about continuing your insurance?
I didn't get any kind of information about that.
This happened when?
This happened last week.
Yeah, they've got to notify you. And I think, Joe Donnelly, wasn't there some change in COBRA that's to the benefit of employees?
Well, they should be notifying her regarding COBRA and COBRA status. And the first step is going to the unemployment office and getting a claim filed.
And you can file it online. You got access to a computer?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to, you know, go to Department of Workforce Development, Work One.
Okay.
And start that process of filing for your unemployment.
Okay.
The other thing, the employer must give you information on continuing your medical insurance at your expense. They've got to tell you that within 30 days. That's the law. All right, and there may have been some changes where maybe it may not cost as much to start out like it used to. That was one of the things the president did and the Congress as part of that whole trying to rescue us from economic ridiculousness, okay?
Okay.
But the most important thing is if you was laid off, start that paperwork like now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Trust me, it's in the works.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. There were those changes, Joe Donnelly, to COBRA to try to make life a little bit easier on the insurance end. And that's one of the things the president did that you all in the Congress did that people may not realize until all of a sudden, like the last caller, she's going through that kind of situation.
And what a difference it can make for somebody who in a challenging economy and companies may have to lay off because their business has been a little bit less or other decisions that when you, when that happens to you, insurance is obviously a critical element of how you're going to be able to continue taking care of your family. And so COBRA is absolutely crucial, and we made changes to try to make it simpler for families.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Now, we mentioned that these Republicans this week are having these votes specifically designed to embarrass Democrats, specifically designed to embarrass the President of the United States. Some are going to say there was a vote the other week, the same day that the Supreme Court said that the Affordable Care Act was legal, having to do with Attorney General Eric Holder and a program that was begun under the Bush administration. It was like a sting. You know, the law enforcement does stings all the time where they were selling guns and they kind of knew who the guns were. They were selling guns to the bad guys to kind of trace how the guns were getting to the bad guys so they could arrest the bad guys and arrest who was selling these marked guns. And somehow these guns not only got into the hands of the bad guys killed a couple of our drug agents. As there was a big hue and cry, aha, as part of this sting operation, kill some of our agents. It's called Fast and Furious, copying after the movie. I don't know why. And there were documents that the Congress, the House, asked for that the Attorney General would not provide, the administration would not provide. You were one of, I believe, 17 Democrats that voted with the Republicans to censure the Attorney General. You rule him in contempt of Congress. Why?
Because some years before that, we had a similar situation with folks from the Bush administration, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten, who we asked for documents as well, and they also refused and said executive privilege. And at that point, I voted for contempt to hold them both in contempt because we wanted to receive the documents. And as a member of the House, in regards to the executive branch, I felt that we had a responsibility to try to get those documents. And so it was a vote. I have enormous respect for Mr. Holder, but it was a vote to try to get that information.
You're aware that in many aspects of the African-American community, they feel that Republicans going after Eric Holder has nothing to do with Fast and Furious, that it's more upset at the Justice Department trying to uphold voting rights, trying to do something about these voter ID laws that are on steroids, not like the voter ID law in Indiana, which was heinous, which kept nuns and others from voting. But these new laws in other states make our voter ID law look like milquetoast. I mean, they have just totally taken what Indiana did and blown it up into just something that is designed to deny millions of Americans the right to vote. You understand how in the African-American community this vote could be perceived as, what's Joe doing?
No, I understand that, but here's the facts, is that what I had hoped is that by these documents being available, they would not have that excuse to use on Eric Holder, and that one of the most important things the Attorney General is doing is fighting back on voter ID issues, and that I stand 100% with him in that effort. I have seen the nuns in South Bend. That was where the nuns were turned away. I remember Julia Carson, Congresswoman Carson, Miss Carson, having challenges when she showed them her congressional ID, and it wasn't good enough for them. And that there's a consistent attempt to try to make it more difficult to vote. And that falls unduly on minorities and on elderly. And so Attorney General Holder has been a standard bearer in the fight to make sure that Americans have the right to vote. And I support him 100% in that. And that Republicans' efforts to try to make his life more difficult on that end will be met with strong resistance at every turn.
Let me go to Georgia, 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Brother Brown?
I'm fine.
How you doing, Mr. Donnelly?
Very good, sir.
Yes, sir. I will be out and about anywhere and everywhere to get out to vote for you.
Well, thank you.
And that's a promise. And I know a lot of people needing help, but I just thought I would reassure you that it is people out here working on your behalf to make you the senator from Indiana.
Thank you so much. And I will tell you that there is nothing more important than your right to vote. It is your right to have your voice heard. And, you know, Bill Gates may have $50 billion, but Bill Gates has one vote.
Yes, sir.
And we each have one vote as well. And our one vote will make it so that, you know, we have a chance to try to create more jobs in Indiana rather than seeing them be sent overseas or offshore, that we have a chance to have a tax system that is fair for everybody and doesn't make it so that Mitt Romney only has to pay 15% because it's considered a different type of income. A firefighter's income in Indianapolis can be taxed at a regular rate, and Mitt Romney is taxed at 15%. It's not fair, and we need through our vote to have our voice heard.
And may you have a powerful day and a rest of the new year.
God bless you.
I appreciate
you,
that.
Sir.
Speaking
Thank
of you. That, should we be concerned with a presidential candidate, nominee of a major party, having offshore bank accounts, Swiss bank accounts? You know, should we insist that a president of the United States ought to have bank accounts in American banks in America and not at a bank in Zurich?
Well, I think what it shows you is their view, their opinion of our country and of who we are. I read somewhere today where they said there's two reasons to have a Swiss bank account. Either you're hiding something or you think that the Swiss franc is going to go up in value against the dollar. And so you're betting against your own country. And so either one of those is a bad explanation for Mr. Romney.
Let me go to Sam Carson right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos and Mr. Donnelly. How's everybody doing?
Good, Hi. Sir. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, Joe Donnelly, I've never met you before, but you just mentioned my mother's name, Tongues on Judy Carson, and I would say that...
I met you at her funeral, sir.
Oh, you know what? That's right. I'm sorry. You know, Alzheimer's, whatever it's called.
Now.
As far as Eric Holder is concerned, you know, being a black man, to me, they're just... it's nothing more than a lynching, and I don't really know what happened. I heard your response to why you voted, I guess, to censor him, but... You know, being a black man, that's pretty hard to swallow. I'm not going to vote for the other guy, Murdoch. I'm not feeling him, but it's just going to take a little something more for you to recover from this because I just don't get that. You know, well, because they're trying to get Barack, figured they would, I guess, try to hurt Holder, and I just can't see any Democrats voting, you know, along with Republicans against Holder. So. You know, how did you come up with that again? Why did you vote against Holder?
It had nothing to do with anything other than I felt that there were documents that we, as the House of Representatives, were entitled to receive, and we had not. And so I had previously, in a very similar situation, members of the Bush administration, I had voted to hold them in contempt, and I was very hopeful that we would get these documents from the Attorney General's office. I have the privilege of serving with your nephew, who is an extraordinary representative and who has done a terrific job. What we are trying to do is make sure when I had mentioned your mom's name, who I have also had – I had the privilege of serving with her before we lost her, that she always fought for everyone's right to vote. And that's what's going on right now is a nonstop attack across the country. The latest place, Amos, is Pennsylvania, where they're trying to take a million people off the rolls. And in that process, they have said, we think if we can do this, that the president will not win the state. And so this is an all-out assault on trying to make sure that the president isn't reelected.
I appreciate
it. Okay, let me close. I didn't mean to cut you off. But,
No, sir.
Going after Barack. You know, it's not a given that Barack is going to get back in there, and we have to stand with him, and we have to be able to identify these games that the other side will play. And we could not go against anything that's going to hurt Barack Obama. And I look forward to, you know, meeting with you very soon and, you know, perhaps continuing this conversation offline. But, you know, God bless you, my brother.
Well, God bless you, too.
I appreciate it. I got an email at praiseindy.com. Joe Donnelly's be our last question. Said, Amos, asking the real question, did he vote against Eric Holder because the NRA was doing a vote count? Did you? Because there's some people that said Joe Donnelly did that because those NRA people called him up and twisted his arm and waved a gun in his face and what have you. Then the corollary question to this, and I've never heard the people that are condemning Fast and Furious, does this mean we should not, law enforcement should not do sting operations? Because that's been a very effective law enforcement tactic.
Sure. The NRA had nothing to do with my decision. What I was trying to do was be consistent with previous votes that I had taken.
Mm-hmm.
And Attorney General Holder is working in a number of areas that we've been very, very helpful and supportive of. As you indicated, just this week we have coming up another vote on the Affordable Care Act, which is probably the signature issue of President Obama's term in as president. And I stood with the president in that when the initial vote took place. And I'll be there again this week.
If people want more information about your campaign, our standard closing question with all candidates, how do people get a hold of
us? Just give us a call at that same number, 317-231-7108.
On the website is joeforindiana. That's F-O-R.
Yes.
joeforindiana.com. Joe Donnelly, the Democratic candidate for United States Senate. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you coming up. Oh, when you go back to Congress, because, you know, everybody's saying, why can't Democrats and Republicans get together? Just got this on Twitter from the Los Angeles Times. Guess who has solved their problem in less than a week?
Not sure.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. They've solved it. They're divorced. Now, if they could solve their differences, surely Democrats and Republicans in Washington could do. Take that story back.
I think Katie Holmes must be a saint is what I can say.
They'll probably run her for United States Senate in New York. Joe Donnelly, thanks very much for being with us.